Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. John Townsend, and your phone calls right here on New Life Live. 1-800-229-3000. Come join us.
I really appreciate your program.
I've been married a little over 19 years, but exactly a year ago, I committed adultery.
So basically, I have a choice between living a celibate life by myself or going to hell.
What happens is when God's structures aren't kept in place, then things kind of get upside down.
There may need to be another church split. You may need to split and find a church that has an active children's minister versus saying something like we're uncomfortable being around a mom and a daughter.
It seems like there's a real disconnect between how she sees things and how you see things.
There's not much that's honorable in her. Maybe the only thing you can honor her for is for giving you life.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Dave Stoop.
Greetings. Greetings.
He is the author of the newly revised Forgiving the Unforgivable.
No, Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves. That's
anyway,
been the revised one.
If you're
but the other one's still there.
If you're wanting to forgive somebody, he's got a book that'll cover it. But mainly the revised one is Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves. And, you know, that's the tough one, forgiving yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Dr. John Townsend. And he is the author of many books, Loving People, Leadership Beyond Reason, and the book that's going to come out later this year, Beyond Boundaries. I know what Beyond Boundaries is. It's, you know, you can set a boundary and it works, but now what do you do? You're going to build a relationship.
It's a trust book. Yeah. How do I know when it's okay to jump back in the pool?
Yeah. And I know you'll be we'll all look forward to that. And if you have any need for a resource, please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. We would love to help you there. I want to mention something. We have an alcohol and drug treatment center in Florida. A friend of mine, the daughter, just went there. She's been to two other programs. She couldn't believe it. It was the best thing that's ever happened to her. And I have a little testimony here. It says, I just returned from spending 30 days at the treatment center. I would like to take a moment to thank New Life for the recommendation. The experience was a time of healing and transformation. The program was truly a miracle. I've been restored in my relationship with our Father God and hope that I can live my life walking in the light for the first time in a long time. I have hope. Restored. Well, it's all about.
There was another email, too, from someone that had gone there from our program. And they just said that the staff was just so talented. And
they are.
Helping them understand what they needed to understand.
If you have an alcohol problem or drug problem, it's the place to go. And we're really proud to be working with them.
The reason I think groups like that are good, because I've been hearing really good things about Florida, too, is you have to have so many different abilities. You've got to understand drugs and the neurobiological part and the addiction part. You've got to understand our faith and the big, you know, kind of foundation of the biblical truth. You've also got to understand families because people come from families. And you've got to understand.
It's a family issue.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You've also got to understand behaviors. How do you change behaviors? And you've got to understand the character. You know, is this driven by attachment needs? Is this driven by loneliness? Is it driven by you know, trying to become a person? So that's why I think it's working in Florida, is because there's this multi-level competency that people bring into it.
Well, then you bring the spiritual component in.
Like when I said
well.
The faith.
Yeah, that's right.
You compare
that one. I wasn't listening. I'm sorry.
Well, compare that to a person who's been drinking 20 years and decides, I'm going to go to a meeting once a week. And then everybody's expecting to see radical transformation. When you come to this multidisciplinary team and they put all of that power and knowledge and experience together, that's why people have good results from a great treatment center.
It's like going to 5 years worth of meetings.
Yeah. I always think about the Raid commercials, you know, when the cockroaches go, Raid! Well, when you're putting love and truth and the Bible and help and neurobiology, that cockroach called addiction doesn't have a chance. Right?
Well, I don't want to say that our treatment program's like a bug killer, but
it's
it is
an addiction killer.
That's right. Hey, when we come back, I want to tell you something I learned about women. You guys won't want to miss this. I think it'll help. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here, and I said that I was going to tell you something I know about women, or I learned about women. Here it is.
Can't wait.
You got to take care of her little girl inside if you want to connect with the woman that she is.
Now, how did you learn that?
Experience.
Is there a story? It's a great moral.
It just, you know, I'm...
Probably the story is too personal.
I'm over 50.
Steve can't be too personal.
That's true.
That's true. Steve. No, I'm over 50, and I'm really privileged that I have finally stumbled on to that thing. You've really got to connect with the little girl, and people say, well, what is that? But, you know, women have that little girl inside.
One of the ways I describe that is you know, I have a piece of china, bohm china, that's an azalea flower, and it's, and I say, your wife is like that piece of china, very fragile.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you look at that, the leaves are so thin, you know, it's like you gotta hold her like that. That's the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
So the fragile... not fragile in a sense of being weak, but fragile in the sense of beauty.
Yeah. All right. I just feel better getting off my chest. Let's go to Kathy from Spokane, Washington. KEIT is the station. Hi, Kathy.
Hello.
Hello. How could we help today?
My question is... folks have helped me a great deal because I am a registered counselor in a crisis facility.
Okay.
But my question is personal. As a Christian, I had it drummed into me and constantly supported that, you know, you try everything to keep your marriage intact no matter what, unless there's a biblical reason to get out of it.
Right.
So, when the proof was there after 21 years, it opened up a whole flood of things. Now I'm being told, now that I'm divorced for over 6 years, now I'm being told that I still have to be committed to that promise and that I should not be dating or anything. So I haven't.
Well, that's really true if you just neglect the teaching of Jesus. If you don't care what Jesus said about divorce, then you could make that point. But Jesus was very specific in making an exception. And it's when the person is unfaithful or deserted.
I don't know what the foundation or the basis of that statement is that they're making to you, Kathy.
What do they say is the reason they think that?
Because they said that there's no scripture that would support a divorced person. Everything's negative about a divorced woman.
You know what? There's no scripture that says I can drink 7-Up either. But I feel like I can do it. Not everything is going to be addressed specifically in scripture. But there is, I mean, Jesus went to a lot of trouble to say that here are these exceptions. John, you've got some deep insight into this. What do you think?
Well, Kathy, are they telling you anything that you can't do? Are they saying you as a divorced person, you cannot date or remarry?
Right.
And are they saying that's because you're divorced?
Yes.
Has your husband remarried?
has continued on with his affairs and his alcoholism and a lot of other garbage.
Well, do your friends tell you any passages? Because, like Steve said, you've got Matthew 6, you've got Matthew 19.
Let me read Matthew 19. It talks about the wife because the men were asking the question. You know, I tell you this, whoever divorces his wife and marries someone else commits adultery unless his wife has been unfaithful. So you could say, I will tell you this, whoever divorces her husband and marries someone else commits adultery unless her husband has been unfaithful. So there's the great exception.
And you could reverse the way that reads and say, you are not committing adultery if you marry someone that has, after your spouse has been unfaithful to you.
Because the marriage is broken.
Yeah, but the vows are broken.
But yeah. If they haven't been unfaithful to you, then you really shouldn't. I mean, that's the way you can take that and reverse
right.
it, yeah. and so, it's the same
so
meaning.
So, Kathy, just say to the next time this person has the question, say, I've been reading Matthew chapter 19, and it sounds like I'm free. Can you tell me why that's wrong? And, mm-hmm. you know, this happens a lot, is that people who make a decision or whatever, they sort of get around somebody who knows a little enough Bible to make them dangerous mm-hmm. and give that person awful authority and
yeah.
power.
Yeah.
And all you got to do is do some Bible study. This stuff's pretty clear. The Bible's clear. And then just go back and say, I'm reading these passages. And most of the time, they'll fold up their tent and walk away and beat up somebody else. So
yeah.
I always tell people, don't fight the Bible with your experience or here's what I think. Fight the Bible with the Bible. The Bible's consistent, and the bullies go to another schoolyard.
Here's what I mm-hmm. found to be effective, Kathy. I hope it'll help you. When they say that, you say to them, I know somebody smarter than you. and then you tell them what we told you. Because, you know what, we're very conservative in our faith here, and we really try to stick to exactly what the Bible says. And it just couldn't be more clear when Jesus says, you will be committing adultery. Well, except if the person has been unfaithful.
You know what happens, Kathy? I think people who tell you this are scared. They're afraid around a divorced person because they're probably in a very difficult marriage themselves, and they think about it, and then mm-hmm. they've set up a rigid, you know, kind of a rigid guideline that they want to apply to everybody else, and it's a way of kind of pushing you away because the fact that you had a legitimate reason for your divorce scares them and makes them very uncomfortable. So add that to what John was saying, in that they think they're very biblically knowledgeable, and they probably are not biblically knowledgeable, but they're also scared because they don't know what to do in their own marriage, and they see you did something, and that scares them.
Mm-hmm. I just had a flashback about us, the three of us and Henry, back in the day when Christian psychology was the big, you know, is this
yeah.
biblical?
Right.
Have you given up Jesus for Freud? And we all did these radio debates with these theological
mm-hmm.
people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember we sat down and just went, let's just talk about the Bible. Instead of, well, psychology says this, but the Bible says this. When they would throw verses out, we would say, I know, here's the way to understand them. Here's the context. Here's other verses.
Mm-hmm.
And within about a year, all the radio debates went away.
They mm-hmm. did, yeah.
Because it's true, and then people don't argue anymore. But just go back to the Bible. I mean, it's why God wrote it.
Matthew 6, Matthew 19.
Now, I'm sorry, it was 5. 5
right.
and 19.
Now, let me just mention to you that when you go through a divorce, as you have, I think you are more against divorce than before.
Mm.
In other words, if you, having gone through this, if you were to call and say, I'm still married to this guy, he's unfaithful, he's an alcoholic, we wouldn't say, you got to divorce him. We would say, okay, let us try to help you develop a process that might lead to sobriety and faithfulness. Because
I tried it.
Yeah, but I'm just making sure people don't think we're pro-divorce here. We hate divorce.
Oh, no.
Even in the case of adultery, we try to help people find a way to stay together. But anyway.
Because they often can if both people are committed to making it
but,
work.
But I think this is an example of somebody trying to put a load upon you that you don't deserve to have. I think you're free here, and I hope that you experience that.
We'll send you How People Grow. It's a way to think about these matters, and you can feel a little more secure when crazy people.
Yeah. Well, I would say if somebody was wondering what is all this Christian counseling about, I'd say How People Grow probably got more scripture per page than about anything you guys have done. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, we kind of wrote it so people could know that you can talk about depression, anxiety, relational problems, addiction, and the Bible speaks to the, mm-hmm. the healing and the transformation process.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to John from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening on WORD. Hi, John.
Hi. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. First of all, I can't thank you enough for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is regarding marriage. I understand that we're supposed to love the, love God first and our wife second. Correct me if I'm wrong, and our children third.
Mm-hmm.
I am on my second marriage, and I am married to someone who's never had any children, never married. I'm just wondering if I'm still supposed to hold that standard and what that looks like.
You have children.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so what is the issue? Why is that a question for you?
Am I supposed to love my wife, my second wife, as much, more than my children?
Well, you know, I think the problem that you're creating for yourself is that it's love. If you change it to your priorities, in terms of what your priorities are, your wife is always your first priority. That relationship continues after your children are gone and grown up. You know, so I would say, you know, she needs to be your priority, but not in a way that creates a conflict with your kids.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a faulty way of looking
yeah,
at
it's
the
not a
whole
good way to
think. Because if you love your wife, then you're going to love your children so that she's not looking for treatment programs and mental health facilities because you neglected your children. And if you love God, you're going to love her the way Christ loved the church. I just think
yeah.
you can really end up in trouble with this 1-2-3
I
thing.
Wouldn't do the 1-2-3. For
not
example,
not with love.
For example,
okay.
it's a child's number two, and I've got a 6-month-old, and so that person, I'm their lifeline to sanity, neurological homeostasis. They're going to go psychotic if I don't pick them up. But my wife says, "Well, take me to, you know, New Zealand for some fun." No,
okay.
It's not like that because the children are helpless, and that we are their lifelines. We're everything to them. So don't think that way. You know, here's what's more helpful. Tell us the situation, because this question, we've heard it a million times,
mm-hmm.
and there's always some situation. This isn't kind of doodle around on a cocktail napkin over dinner. This is a situation where something came up that was a conflict. So just tell us the problem. There's a practical issue that you're having to face. You're not just philosophizing.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I can pin it down to one thing. I just want to make sure that my second marriage is successful in ways that the first one wasn't, and I wanted to. I guess whenever I asked about who you love more, that was definitely not the right way of asking it. I just want to make sure that, you know, that the priorities are in place.
Well,
and
how old are your
I'm
kids?
Doing what God wants me to do.
How old are
I'm
your
sorry,
children?
They're 15 and they're 15 and 12.
Okay, you've been with them longer than your new wife, right?
Yes, yes.
They're going to be expecting you to honor the longevity that you mm-hmm. have with them. So you don't want them to have the feeling that now that she's in the picture, they're really second place. That wouldn't be good. And, you know, I think some of this 1-2-3 is kind of male compartmentalization. Okay. This is my God love, this is my wife love, this is my children love. I feel really bad about you setting out to love your second wife more than your children versus
right.
loving them together at the same time, because I think you can make some big mistakes that will alienate those kids to her.
Well, I still stand by my statement.
What did
about
you say?
Priorities.
Priorities.
Your wife has to feel like she's your first priority, and that doesn't mean you neglect your kids. That doesn't mean that you take off for New Zealand because she wants to do something, you know, frivolous. It means that if there's a conflict between your wife and your kids, you stand by her and you work it out to where your kids understand what's going on as well as her working
unless she's
it out.
Unless
abusive.
She's wrong.
She's unless she's abusive, yeah.
I really don't want ever to for the kids to feel alienated.
Hey, I got it. Why don't we use this as a mantra?
Okay.
When Jesus said that you can fulfill the law and the commandments in love God and love your neighbors yourself, when there's a conflict between the kids and your wife, just say, how do I love God first and our neighbor and ourselves? Most problems with good people will work out then.
Yeah.
And how do I deal with this lovingly? Yeah. Okay. For all involved.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back for more of New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. There is a website. You can see all sorts of stuff on that website at newlife.com. Some amazing, helpful hints on how to live your life where you're connected to people and connected to God at the same time. We'll take this break and come right back for more of New Life Live. See you then.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuta that my life was spared.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back. I want to talk with Brian from Ocala, Florida. He listens on Sirius Satellite Radio, where we can be found at 131 now, our new location. Hi.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Brian.
What's going on?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been dealing with anxiety for over 10 years now, and you know, I'll get in public situations when I'm feeling, you know, like uneasy or something like that. I'll just start shaking for no reason at all, and that's how this anxiety comes out at me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, how old are you?
I'm 39, and I don't know. It started, you know, like I said, over 10 years ago.
Huh.
I just start getting nervous. And
What do your friends think when they see you starting to shake?
They get nervous too.
So you got a bunch of anxious friends.
It's embarrassing. You know,
Brian, anything happened 10 years ago? A loss? Did you have a loss or a stress or a trauma 10 years ago?
No. It's just, I don't know. I move around a lot. I've been married 19 years. I noticed that whenever I first got up on stage, you know, singing, you know, I noticed it there, and then it carried on working for my dad, as a site superintendent, after you build a house, you know, you have to show the people the house and talk to them about the house and not everything in it. I noticed I started shaking. And
has anybody ever used the term social phobia with you?
I've heard of that, but I'm not sure if that's what it is. Because, I could be standing in line at a grocery store and it'll start happening if I start getting nervous.
Oh, so it could be other things besides people. It could be like in outdoor places or open spaces?
Yeah, I'm a truck driver, so I mean, I don't know.
I'm trying to. Yeah, you see, we're talking in the area of what are technically called phobias, and they're very well researched, Brian. And you have to kind of say what's the common denominator. And if you're saying no, open spaces are good. I'm a trucker, so they're fine. But if the common denominator is people, it's called social phobia.
Okay, all right. So that's probably what it is, then, right?
Yeah,
you're probably never experiencing that driving the highways of Arizona in your truck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I mean, not exactly.
No, it's when you get out of the truck and go into the restaurant.
I experience it then. Yeah.
Yeah, Brian. It's really good. And I'm not being funny when I say that, but it's a good time to have a phobia these days.
Oh, yeah.
Because the research is so good, and what you ought to do is to go, when you get back, see a psychiatrist and tell them what your symptoms are, and there's well documented. And most times people have a combination of some good medication to help the anxiety while you're working on the deeper issue, because social anxiety, like any kind of anxiety, is always a control issue. There's something I'm trying to control that I feel out of control of. That's the core of anxiety. Yours just comes out with people. So it could be anything from I'm afraid they won't like me, or I'm afraid that I'll say something stupid, or I'll be judged, or I don't want them to know me. But we're always trying to control kind of like how we come across to people. And
that's the way I feel. Yeah.
Right. And
that's
so,
the way I feel.
Yeah, and so when you learn that I've got control over myself and most people like me and I can take care of myself and nobody's going to hurt me and nobody's going to judge me, when you go through a counseling process there and you've got the right medication, then you can give up the medication because the symptoms go away and you're better inside.
And the reason you do the medication is that anxiety has a shutoff in most people. It rises to a point and then it stops. But when you have a phobia, the anxiety keeps going, and it kind of develops a pathway in the brain so that the next time it goes the same place, you know. And what the medication will do is break that pattern. If you don't get at the root of it with the counseling, then you just develop a new pathway in the brain for it, and you'll come back.
And that the pathway Dave's talking about, Brian, they call it the fear of the fear.
Yeah.
Because then you start thinking, I think I'll go.
Or the fear of the anxiety.
Yeah, so I think I'll go to Baskin Robbins. Well, but what something might happen, and then I get afraid of doing that too. So, but there's a lot of help for this.
What would be a good book for him?
Well, How People Grow, because it gets at some of the issues in the early stages of our life that may be the root of what's
coming your way. How People Grow, and we love you, truckers, and we love you, Brian, and glad you called. Hope that something we've said is helpful to you. I remember after my one big panic attack, every time I'd start to feel a little lightheaded, I would be scared to death that in a public place I was going to have that same thing and hyperventilate and all of that.
And what year was that?
Oh, that was when I was moving to California. So that was 1980. But I just didn't realize how afraid I was to come out here.
People don't understand how bad panic attacks are.
Ooh.
I mean, you can be afraid and think, I'm scared, but a panic attack, you think you're going to have a heart attack? You think your heart's going to stop?
Physical. You know, I ended up in the emergency room.
And most people
do. I don't
do.
Remember that.
Yeah, I crawled down the steps of my two-story apartment, drug myself out onto the front doormat, and a couple were coming by, and I cried out to them, I'm dying. Can you take me to the emergency room? And I really thought I was dying.
Yeah.
And they take me to the emergency room, and I'm, you know, dying and everything, and the doctor comes over, and he says, I'm going to give you a shot of Valium. And I go, no, my heart's about to stop as it is. No. And then he sticks it in there, and I go, oh, okay. Well,
never mind.
Wake up.
That's one of the most common things in an emergency room is people with a panic attack think that they're dying because you do literally think you're dying.
then I had to be treated for feeling like a total idiot. And that treatment still to this day. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back for more of New Life Live. 1-800-229-3000 to join us. That website is newlife.com. You can hear the program, watch the program at newlife.com. We'll be back.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're talking with Sue from Placentia, California. KKLA is the station. Hi, Sue. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. How you doing?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm doing well. I have a question for you.
Okay.
How do you deal with a controlling person who is a Christian but will not accept any accountability from anybody else? Really, basically, will take some little from me. I'm his wife, but nobody else on the outside, meaning counselors, church people,
okay.
Anything.
Is he stubborn or is he controlling?
Huh.
Yeah, we haven't heard that he's controlling anybody so far. Maybe he is, but we've heard more stubborn.
No, I would definitely say controlling, because he did have one counseling session with me with a Christian counselor,
mm-hmm.
and that I have been going to for 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and she said he definitely is controlling.
What does he control? I mean, a controlling person by definition limits the freedom, or tries to limit the freedom of other people's choices.
Okay, I'll give you some examples prior to counseling. Would not let me go to church. Would not let me go to counseling. Those are two examples. There.
How did you end up in a will not let me kind of relationship? I mean, is this from your church that the men set the standard and they let their wives do certain things and they don't let them do other things?
No, it's not coming from the church at all.
Uh-huh.
It was coming from my husband, basically.
Okay.
And I was very isolated, but didn't realize I was isolated.
That sounds controlling to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's a controlling...
Yeah, he qualifies.
He's a controlling, afraid, little, tiny boy down inside of that man's body.
Okay.
Scared to death.
That's the part you got to really see, is that he's a scared little boy.
That's what it is. Okay. All right.
So I guess, would you want to know what to do about it?
Nope. Yes, what else can I do? Because I'm taking care of and dealing with all my issues, but what do I do on, you know, the other part of it?
Well, picture it this way. So if you had a nine-year-old kid who was doing this to you,
okay,
would you cater to it all?
No.
Okay. But you would reassure him and do whatever was important for you to do.
Yes.
But the reassurance part is maybe the part that, you know, it's a combination. Is, you know, it's a simplistic approach, but, and John will give you a much more deeper understanding of it, but okay. that's what I would do.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Pressure's on.
Okay.
Sue, controlling people, kind of like what Steve and Dave are saying, controlling people do this because they feel out of control somewhere.
Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm not okay unless I can make sure that I can, like, limit your choices, and then I feel better inside. And God's solution is always going to be some mixture of a certain amount of grace and vulnerability on your part, but another amount of truth and confrontation on your part.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the menu would be for you to go to him and tell him how you feel alone and isolated and disconnected, and you want a marriage, and you feel brokenhearted because you need a husband that cherishes you and gives you choices.
Okay.
And that will break some men. Some men will just say, I had no idea I was doing this. They'll fall in a heap, and as Steve likes to say, and you're fine. Some men need other things like, I want to, you know, is there a pastor we can see? Is there another expert we can see? And then you might have to even say, I've got to start establishing some consequences here. When Henry and I wrote Boundaries in Marriage, which is basically what we wrote to be a cure for that problem, the controlling uh-huh. spouse, Boundaries in Marriage, it establishes what the Bible says about how do I preserve our love and our freedom. And you're going to have to probably go to him and say, I want love, but I need freedom too. And you want love and you need freedom. And if he fights that, then you've got to go even more extreme consequences. Yeah. But I would start there.
That's exactly what I was saying, but you said it so much better.
Hey, here's a curiosity I have. What did he tell you was the reason he didn't want you to go to church, for instance?
Well, I know you guys don't have much time, but we had a very horrible experience at a church where we had to leave a church.
Mm-hmm. What was the experience? Just curious.
We were very involved in the church. We had to break off our membership. We had basically people kind of like hunting us down. And
what was that about?
Cult-like church.
What happened?
Was
the problem?
Why did you leave the church? Can you know?
Yeah, but why did you leave the church?
But why did you leave?
Because it was a wrong church and a wrong pastor for us.
Okay.
That's a nice way to put it.
And so he doesn't want you to go to another church because of what?
Because of that reason.
Okay.
But I have been going.
Yeah.
I have been going.
Well, I think you are entitled, whenever he tells you what you can and cannot do, I think you're entitled to know what he's afraid of.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would want to know what he's afraid of.
Because I can tell you that he's absolutely not open to going to counseling, Christian mm-hmm. counseling. He already told me he already went once. There's no reason for him to go.
And then I would ask him, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid could happen there? I mean, how can it be a bad thing of us getting together and trying to get on the same page and have a deep
connected.
Connection? Remember when we dated, what it was like? Yeah, we can get back to that point.
Yeah.
I really do believe you can get back to that point.
Okay.
But it's a deeper relationship than when you were dating because you know each other. But you can still have that kind of connection.
And but I love him, and he is a great guy. Don't get me wrong.
No, we understand
he
that.
He is, mm-hmm. You know. Okay.
John had something for you.
I was just thinking, hopefully you can connect with that deeper part, and that'll solve a multitude of things. But if his fear is so great that he will not give that up, then you really do. For you to give into that and, like, limit your life into choices that God gave you, it makes him sicker. Mm-hmm. So you're both worse off if you give into his control. So we'll send you the book.
All right.
But think of it as balancing the love and the freedom, because that's the key part of it, mm-hmm. that you want that for him, but you mostly, you know, you want to make sure that you've got that.
I like that. Freedom, love.
They're good things, aren't they?
They are. Let me read you a letter we got. Dear Steve, now is the time. Today is the day to do what I have to do. I'm listening to your program in Orlando on WTLN as you explain from your heart your real need to stay on the air. I must confess that I've been getting a free ride of wonderful advice for some time now. Your response and godly counseling to many trouble call-ins has helped me tremendously in my role as an 83-year-old widow trying to encourage and guide my two adult daughters, my 11 grandchildren, and yes, even my 10 great-grandchildren.
Wow.
Through the many challenges, good and bad, in today's culture, when many families are falling apart. Through thick and thin, God has seen us through many difficult situations, and we're so blessed. Please forgive me for waiting so long to say thank you for your ministry, and here's my first-time love gift. God bless you. You know, Steve, life is not in waiting for the storm to pass, but in learning to dance in the rain. I've been dancing a long time. Love.
She's peace got away with words.
That is so cool.
There's my new hero for what I want to be like at 83.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you. What's her first name?
I believe it what would you say? Colleen? I think it's
Colleen. You're my new hero.
Well, anyway, thank you for that. And if maybe that touches you, that an 83-year-old woman would send us her first-time gift, we need your gifts. We're behind this month, and we need Club New Life members. It really is the foundation of what we do, whether it's $30 a month or $100 a month. It all means a lot. So please, if you possibly can, support this ministry. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. Let's talk to Amy from Nashville, Tennessee, WDNX. Hello there, Amy.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. How could we help?
Yes, I had a question on my relationship with my husband. And I understand that he's the one that's put in the middle, but it's caused a big strain on our marriage with his mother. His parents live about a couple hours from us, but she feels entitled that she can come to our house whenever she wants, whether she's been invited or not. You know, she can just show up whenever she wants. And it's caused a big problem because she feels entitled to be in every aspect of our life.
No, Amy, we're going to go to break, but it hasn't caused a problem because your mom feels entitled. It causes a problem because something in your husband is not putting down his foot.
Exactly.
And we're going to help you. We're going to give you some tools on how to help him put his foot down.
Give him some boots.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're in Nashville. You understand boots.
All right. So hold on, Amy. We'll get to you right after this. New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and on July 22nd, 23rd, and 24th is our Healing is a Choice New Life Weekend. We've still got places available. If you want to transform your life by starting and working on those issues that need to be resolved, this is going to be a great, great weekend for you. You can find out about it at newlife.com.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My friends at New Life want to help you find healing and restoration based on God's truth. They have a workshop to help men who are stuck in the entanglement of pornography. They have another for both men and women to deal with any issue you might be facing, anger, depression, grief, or whatever you're struggling with, they can help you. Or if you know someone fighting an addiction to drugs or alcohol, they offer a Christian treatment program.
And if you know someone struggling with an eating disorder, they can help you there too. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans about the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes this happen, and He's working through this ministry at New Life. Call today and see how you can experience that for yourself. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. Steve Arterburn here. And we're talking with Amy, and Amy has the problem. We've heard it several times on the air. The husband takes the mom's side. She just walks in the house anytime she thinks it's okay. When you say to him, that really bothers me, what does he say?
Well, he feels, she's also a very controlling type of person. So whenever he does tell her no, she argues and complains and gripes at him and gives him scenarios why it's unfair, and he ends up always giving in. So he has told her no. She just tries to take back
Amy, he's told her no, but he hasn't done no.
Right.
He said no, but he hasn't behaved no.
Doesn't know how to back it up.
Yeah. There's a leaving and cleaving breakdown with your husband. Sounds like a nice guy. He really wants to do this, but he hasn't sufficiently left and cleft yet so that she can't overwhelm him. She can still overwhelm him, and so he has a job to do.
Any other things where he has a hard time following through on what he knows is the right thing to do?
Yes.
What's that?
Well, for it to be about us and our family. I mean, we do have a small child also. And anytime, you know, that we even want to go just to the zoo, just the three of us, she feels entitled to be able to be there since she's the grandmother.
Amy, I feel kind of bad saying this, but we're talking about someone who's not really fixable at this point, and your husband is. I want to put the energy back into the person that can really make a difference here. So let's get out of how entitled and crazy she is.
Okay.
She's 2 hours away. Your husband lives with you.
Right.
All right. So you say to him, from now on, I really depend on you to say no. And then when she has a tantrum, to say, love to talk to more mom, but I got to go, and hang up or leave or whatever. But can you do that? And I need you to do that because I need our intact nuclear family to work.
Well, it almost goes back even further than that, though, John, because how does she know that you guys are going to the zoo?
Well, that's what I was wondering.
Unless he calls and says, hey, Mom, we're going to the zoo.
How does she know you're going to the zoo?
Well, I'm assuming he tells her. And the fact that we don't have a zoo where we live, per se, so we actually have to drive a couple hours. We don't actually live right in Nashville. So.
But if he were on the phone now and I said, I know your mom's really strong, Sam, and she just has these conniption fits, but can you just say, Mom, we've changed our mind. We're going to, we can't do that, or we won't do that. And I agree with Amy that I'm not going to be like telling you every move we make, and we're going to really change things, but we love you. What would your husband say? That's impossible, or I can do that, or that's too hard? I kind of feel bad for him because he's not here representing himself.
Right. Now, I do feel like he wants to say no. And he knows that it's the right thing to do in some situations.
Mm-hmm. There
it's
are
just that she complains so much, he always ends up giving in.
Amy, you did it again. You did it again. Do you see what you did?
I know I went back to her, but that's what it's based off of. He feels
it's
bad.
Not. No, Amy, you're going to be calling us in 10 years with the same question if you don't get this straight in your head.
Okay.
Your husband needs to say no to his mother and behave no to his mother, even if she's a Tyrannosaurus Rex. That's what husbands do. Get off of the entitled, controlling mom.
And there are few circumstances where a man feels less like a man than when he's giving in to his mother and it goes against what his wife knows. Yeah. So we're trying to make it better for everybody here.
But he's the man that's got to step up to the plate, and he's got to learn how to handle it. If he says no, and then she complains, and then he tries to explain, then they're off to the races. You know, he's got to just be able to say, I understand that, Mom, but today. No. Right.
We have a book called How to Have That Difficult Conversation That You've Been Avoiding.
Okay.
That's his book.
And it helps people to structure and role play and script conversations that when you get, we're going to send it to you, and when you get it, I want you to, you and Sam, your husband, I don't know what his name is, to role play those conversations. Mm-hmm. And you be the entitled, controlling mom. You know her well.
Yeah.
You can do her, right?
Right.
Amy?
Yeah, she can. She's off.
Oh, she's off. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So you be her, and he goes through the book, and you know, you pick a zoo episode or a coming over episode, and then he gets over his anxiety, and he feels like Steve said, he'll start to feel like a man, like, I can do this, yeah. I can do this, and I can say I got to stop talking, no more rabbit trails.
You know, Amy, we have kids and grandkids, and we never go to their home without calling them first. Yeah. But they're entitled to come to my house and just walk in the door without announcing.
The kids
are, because they used to live there.
I wouldn't. See? At some point when they got their own place.
Okay, yeah, guys, I have the icing on the cake.
Okay.
She makes an agreement with her husband. If you can't tell her not to come, if you're going to give in, I want you to agree with me. The next time she shows up, we all just immediately go into we were just leaving mode, and we all get in the car, and we drive away. And when she says, where are you going? We say, we were just planning to have a day out, because you were planning to have a day out when she showed up.
Isn't that a little deceptive?
No, I think it would train her to call. Next time you want to be sure we're going to be home, call us.
That would be so mean to that dear old lady.
That's what I think we ought to do here, because the plan is we want to spend the day out if she's going to spend the day at our house.
She can just enjoy the house without us.
Enjoy the house. Anyway.
How about this? Mom, anytime you come, want to let you know, we're a spontaneous couple. You just never know what we're going to do next.
Yeah. We just went to spontaneous inside our personality.
That's if the book doesn't work. Then that's the next step.
Right.
When your car drove up down the hill, we just got spontaneous all of a sudden.
Did. All right. Well, we are grateful that you're here. We've got a New Life weekend coming up here in July. Hope that you will come. I think we've got a quote.
Oh yeah,
from one of the attendees.
Tammy wrote this. She says, "I came in to the weekend with a lot of baggage from my past that led me to believe I was to blame for anything and everything that went wrong." And she said, "I learned that's not truth, and God truly does forgive and loves me," in capital letters.
Yep. I tell you, we've seen so many people transform their lives through this. Also, we've got a drug and alcohol treatment center that is just an amazing place. If you're a Christian, you'd want to go there. And this wonderful doctor is recovering, and he's Christian, and it's just an amazing place. And so please call us if you need that. We also need your help. We need your support. I've been saying it. And we're if we stay on our way, we're going to solve this problem here. We're getting close. We need 1,000 people to sign up for Club New Life this year. We're already at 352. So if you keep joining, if you've been meaning to join, if it's something you wanted, just do it now. Call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE or that one-time gift. April, you folks came through. I mean, we took 3 days off of radio just to ask, and you really came through for us in a way we could not believe. But now May's here, and so we don't want to take 3 days out of May to try to stay on the air. We want you to help us get this problem solved. So if you've been listening a long, long time, like Colleen, and you've never, ever done it, would you call us right now and say, here's $100 or here's $1,000 or whatever, $50, $5, no gift too small. So we love you. We care about you. We want to be here for you. Just doing this, giving advice, talking about real-life situations, trying to bring glory to God, because the principles we use are right out of the Bible. So please call us if you can help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can go to that website, newlife.com. When you give, we'll send you a copy of Journey to Grace. It's a 40-day devotional. People love these little 40-day devotional books that we do here. So give us a call. That'll be our gift to you. When you join Club New Life, we will send you a Bible. Just our way of saying thank you.
A leather-bound Bible.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.